This morning on WCHL, severe storms have moved through the area and more sure to come. Emergency services in Orange County are on high alert for today's storm activity.
It's been our history here in the county, especially on the south side of the county, Carrboro and Chapel Hill, that these floods happen within a few hours.
We have a flash flood watch that remains in effect through 6 a.m. tomorrow. The primary election next week for Orange County Sheriff could end in a runoff.
A candidate would need to get 40% plus one. So if a candidate does not reach that, then the second place candidate, they have the right to ask for a runoff in writing.
And we'll look at the state level race to see who Kay Hagan might face if she wins again next week. These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill, Carrboro traffic and weather together in WCHL Championship Sports. Carrboro High School football coach Jason Tudrin has been snatched up by the university. Plus, the Tar Heel baseball team could not enact revenge on the Pirates last night. And
the big NBA announcement Tuesday was more about Adam Silver than it was Donald Sterling.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:06 at WCHL. It is 70 degrees in Chapel Hill. Widespread fog. You may be getting rain where you are right now. If you're not, you probably will very soon. And big chance of rain all day. We've had a lot of storm activity overnight. National Weather Service senior forecaster Scott Sharp tells us what's happened and what we can expect today.
Right now, the front that was stalled pretty much to the east and south of the triangle area has advanced westward overnight. It is now across the triangle area, heading for the triad at this time. And we've had a few, an isolated severe storm form along the front here shortly after 5 o'clock or so. That severe storm is now crossing into northwestern Vance County from northern Granville County. We do have a tornado warning effect for that one particular storm, even though we haven't received indication of anything on the ground as far as verification goes. The rotation in that storm was impressive enough to issue a warning when it came up through Durham, Granville, and into Vance County. That being said, as the day wears on, we are expecting the air mass to become increasingly unstable, and the winds just above the surface will be increasing. And so it looks like there will be a threat for more severe storms this afternoon into this evening hours. I know yesterday they were mainly confined along the I-95 corridor. Today they'll probably be a little more widespread, in fact, more of the region today than compared to yesterday.
Well, of course, here in our particular area, we have dangers of flooding, as we have had in the past. Flash flood watch is in effect through late tonight now. Explain to our listeners, if you would, exactly what that means and what we need to look out for.
Well, what it means is that the rainfall intensity and the duration may be enough to cause creeks and streams to rapidly rise out of their banks and flood prone areas, so like roadways or low-lying spots and stuff like that. And so there is a flash flood watch, in effect. That means the conditions are there. It doesn't mean anything's happened at this time. Once we start getting some rainfall, it looks to be pretty intense and falling over favored areas such as urban areas or areas that normally flood along creeks and streams, that's when we issue a flash flood warning, means flash flooding has occurred or is imminent. And that's when you need to take your action then, is to evacuate areas that are low spots or places that normally flood. If you come upon an area where water is covering the road and it's moving water, the best option is to turn your vehicle around and try another route. Don't take any necessary risk.
We have heard all about these terrible storms to the south of us. Is this part of the same system, and could we potentially get something like that here?
Yeah, this is all part of the same system. This is a very large area of low pressure that has been slowly moving across the central U.S. for the last, this would be day four now, it looks like. And so this is part of the same system. What's happened is that the stuff there along the Gulf Coast overnight, from Mobile to Pensacola over to Panama City, that actually saved us in some ways, is that it sort of disrupted the moisture flow off the Gulf. And so the storms that we were anticipating to occur overnight this past night did not really materialize. We had a few storms. That was about it, though. But I think that complex down the Gulf probably intercepted enough or disrupted the wind field enough to not cause any storms to form. That area of convection along the Gulf Coast is starting to dissipate here a little bit, though. So, again, we are anticipating shower and thunderstorm activity to increase here across central North Carolina, particularly this afternoon into tonight.
Senior forecaster Scott Sharp of the National Weather Service. Now, you can rest assured that your Orange County Emergency Services officials are ready. They're preparing for the worst as well as offering advice. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Orange County Emergency Services Director Jim Groves says that one of his major concerns is that all Orange County residents have access to updates and information from the Weather Service.
Unfortunately, it's called a flash flood because it happens in a hurry versus a traditional flood, which may occur over hours or even days. It's been our history here in the county, especially on the south side of the county, Carrboro and Chapel Hill, that these floods happen within a few hours. And we have to have a really quick way of notifying people.
Groves says the Weather Service is still the fastest way to get the word out. But Orange County Emergency Services will also be using a reverse 911 system to notify people living in the worst hazard areas. By now, Orange County has a pretty good idea of where the worst flooding problems can be expected.
Estes Drive near 15501, folks are familiar with Camelot Village, the Brookwood area, and those apartments across on South Estes on the other side of Fordham Boulevard. We also know in the Carrboro area, depending on how the rain comes, there is an area there at Smith Level and Merritt Mill. That mobile home park down there has flooded in the past as well.
Groves advises people to make sure they stay tuned to television or radio to receive updates and warnings as they come out.
Have a plan, a way to get out before the water starts to rise. Go to higher ground, have someone that they can meet with. Never walk across water that's over 6 inches high. It could sweep your feet out from under you, and you're going to go downstream, and it's not going to be good.
He also warns motorists never to drive across water if you cannot see the roadway, because it could be washed out. As the National Weather Service famously cautions, turn around, don't drown. Emergency Management Coordinator for the Town of Chapel Hill, Matt Sullivan, said that people who were prepared in advance for last summer's flooding were a major factor in preventing physical injuries.
We did have some property damage, but throughout the storm we didn't have any physical injuries, which I think is a testament to not only our citizens being prepared, but also to our emergency response plans.
Sullivan says the town regularly takes measures to mitigate the damage of any storm event.
Our stormwater maintenance folks go out and regularly maintain and look at the storm inlets to make sure that they're clear of leaves and sticks and debris, because we want to make sure that those inlets and the stormwater system can operate at its maximum capacity.
Sullivan says that whenever new development occurs in Chapel Hill, the newer stormwater systems continue to be built to bigger standards. As for how much the current stormwater system can handle, Sullivan says the study that could determine that would cost Chapel Hill between $15 million and $20 million. To obtain regular media releases that include updates on storm conditions, you can send a request to info@townofchapelhill.org. And you can find this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And keep it here on WCHL throughout the day for news, the very latest on our weather situation. A lot of rain expected today, maybe some storm activity, some very strong winds. Our high today, about 80 degrees. Tomorrow is going to be a much better day, but this flash flood watch remains in effect through 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Let's talk politics. With less than a week to go until the May primary, Bonnie Hauser and Earl McKee have raised and spent more than their competitors in the race for 2 seats in the Orange County Board of Commissioners. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has been following this and has this report.
First-time candidate Bonnie Hauser is challenging incumbent Barry Jacobs for an at-large seat on the Board of County Commissioners. According to first-quarter campaign finance reports, Hauser has raised $12,000 and spent slightly more than $10,000, while Jacobs has raised $8,900 and spent about half that. In the race for the District 2 seat representing Hillsborough and rural Orange County, incumbent Earl McKee has raised and spent nearly double that of challenger Mark Markopoulos. McKee brought in $10,800 in the last 4 months and spent $5,600, while Markopoulos has raised just under $4,000 and spent approximately $2,800. All the candidates are Democrats, with no Republican challengers, meaning both the at-large and District 2 races will be decided in next week's primary. Early voting is currently underway now until Saturday. The primary election is Tuesday, May 6th. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We could be headed for a runoff in at least one highly contested local election. Tracy Reams, director of the Orange County Board of Elections, breaks down the possible scenarios if the election results are narrow following the May 6th primary. WCHL's Rachel Nash has the story.
Under the current state statute, a runoff or a second primary is not required if a candidate gets a, quote, substantial plurality, which Reams says is defined as 40% of the vote plus one vote.
To eliminate the possibility of a runoff, a candidate would need to get 40% plus one. So if a candidate does not reach that, then the second place candidate, they have the right to ask for a runoff in writing.
The Democratic primary race for Orange County Sheriff is looking to be one of the closest contests, with six candidates vying for the position. If just a local election requires a runoff, Reams says it will be held on June 24th, 7 weeks after the first primary per state law. If the Congressional Senate contest requires a runoff, all second primaries will be held on July 15th, 10 weeks after the first primary.
There is not a possibility of having a June primary and then a July primary. It would all be held in one second primary.
The North Carolina Republican primary in the race for the United States Senate appeared to be headed for a runoff, but a recent poll revealed that State House Speaker Tom Tillis has managed to widen his lead. Reams says that if a second primary is required, there's one important rule that unaffiliated voters should keep in mind.
If an unaffiliated vote votes in the first primary, they would be required to vote the same party as the second primary.
The last runoff election held in Orange County was on July 17, 2012. For several state offices, the North Carolina Democratic race for Commissioner of Labor and the Republican races for Lieutenant Governor, Commissioner of Insurance, Secretary of State, and Superintendent of Public Instruction. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
There's a new poll finding that State House Speaker Tom Tillis has widened the gap between himself and his opponents in the North Carolina Republican primary in the race for the U.S. Senate. That result from Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling in Raleigh. We have that complete story on our website at chapelboro.com. You can also hear it coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. It's 8:16. Time now for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Sturdivant's Tire Pros in Chapel Hill. Visit 942tire.com or you can give them a call at 919-942-TIRE. Sturdivant's Tire Pros, Highway 54 West, just 5 quick minutes out of downtown Carrboro. And now, with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you, Ron. Some slowdowns on 15501 southbound from Garrett Road through the I-40 interchange to Ephesus Church Road and East Franklin Split area. Also 15501 northbound between Manning Drive and NC-54 and between Ephesus Church Road and I-40 on 15501 northbound. NC-54 eastbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40 seeing some delays. We do have an accident on I-40. It is in the westbound lane right around NC-55, causing some heavy, heavy backups all the way back to, through the Durham Freeway interchange and back to about the Page Road, Miami Boulevard area. Heavy delays there, so please be on the lookout. And looking at the traffic cam, it's actually just short of the traffic cam, so just east of the NC-55 exit is where you're going to see those slowdowns. Actually, you might not be able to make it to the ramp yet before that accident starts to slow you down, so be on the lookout there. Again, that's I-40 westbound. We're seeing some slowdowns on I-40 westbound from the Aviation Parkway area back to Wade Avenue as well. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that very safely.
All right, thanks for all the work you're doing this morning, keeping on top of the weather and staying in constant contact with the National Weather Service.
We'll be here all day.
We'll talk to you in just a little while here.
Thank you.
You can call anytime you need to know anything. As Rand said, you can call us in the newsroom or tweet us and let us know. We'll pass along the word. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro Weather brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening in Carrboro. Everything you need to grow, brew, and make your own, including a new nursery stocked with fruit trees, cold, hardy tropicals, and many other unique plants you're not going to find elsewhere in the area. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. It is 70 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 69 this morning in Carborough. Widespread fog, numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms all morning long, and then the same for the afternoon. So we'll also get some strong winds late in the day. Our high temperature this afternoon, about 80 degrees. Chance of rain, 80% all day. That will also hold true for tonight. 80% chance of rain, maybe some heavy rainfall, maybe some severe storm activity. Overnight low in the low 60s, and again, those strong winds. Tomorrow, much better day, big improvement, cloudy skies, 50-50 chance of showers in the morning, and the high tomorrow in the upper 70s. A little bit breezy, but nothing like the strong winds we'll have today. 818 at WCHL.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
I'm going to tell you about a great new job for Jason Tudrin coming up just a moment here. It's the paradox Orange County faces again and again, being an attractive place to live while attempting to be an affordable community. The number of affordable housing options is quickly diminishing, coupled with area landlords who no longer accept Section 8 housing vouchers. While there are initiatives underway now to help mitigate the lack of reasonably priced housing, Michelle Laws, chair of the Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP Housing Committee, says there's still too much discussion and not enough action.
We've got people who work here, who clean our streets, clean our facilities, who make sure that our children are taken care of, but who cannot live in this city. And then we act as if that is such a complex issue to resolve. And that is where I think we are. It's a matter of will. And it's a matter of priorities at this point.
There's a plan on the verge of becoming a reality that Chapel Hill Town Council member and Mayor Pro Tem Sally Green says could prove to be a viable option in helping those who need affordable housing. With assistance from DHIC, Inc., a Raleigh-based developer specializing in affordable rentals, the town is moving forward on using low-income tax credits to build 170 affordable rentals on town-owned property next to the Chapel Hill Memorial Cemetery. Green has helped to lead efforts and take action on affordable housing.
What we need to be thinking about, and what we are thinking about, is greater public-private partnerships, innovations to existing ways that we do housing programs, even things like more efficient construction models, and particularly much more attention to the cost of transportation when we deal with housing, because more and more that's recognized that transit is a huge percentage of what you pay.
About a year and a half ago, James Davis of Orange County Housing, Human Rights, and Community Development moved to North Carolina. He chose to live in Durham because Chapel Hill was so expensive. To make a difference, he says, elected officials and activists should take a holistic approach and consider issues like housing, transportation, wages, and job opportunities to help make Orange County more affordable for everyone. Orange County Commissioner Mark Dorison, who also serves as managing attorney at the UNC Center for Civil Rights, cautioned against an all-encompassing approach.
You know, what we ought to be talking about, I think, at the county level and everybody, is what are the exact needs of working class, low wealth people in our community? Do we need more childcare for women or parents so that they can go to work? Then we ought to take money out of our general fund and subsidize more scholarships or subsidizing people to open up those businesses. If we could say today, we're going to make sure that 10 more kids get daycare so 10 more families can go to work, then we've done more than we've done, all respect to my colleagues here, sitting around talking about how do we get more economic development.
Dolores Bailey, Executive Director of Empowerment Incorporated, says that elected officials and activists have to make a public commitment to addressing underserved populations.
We have people in Chapel Hill who are suffering. They can't figure out where they're going to live next. Their job has been done away with. I think we forget that there are actually people in our town who are not being paid attention to.
The lack of employment opportunities forces many area residents to travel outside Orange County for work. Orange County Board of Commissioners candidate Bonnie Hauser says she supports providing better, cheaper transportation options to help make the community more affordable.
If we as a community can provide people with transportation to better paying jobs, with transportation to a place where they can get job training, then now we've created a true affordable model where people are elevating in their stature.
Chapel Hill Town Council Member Maria Palmer says she believes paying workers the appropriate wage is the first step toward counteracting the affordability problem. She added that employers should be more transparent about what they pay their employees.
We need to be activists poking our nose in everybody's business. And I say that knowing that people don't like to talk about how much they pay their employees. They don't like to talk about how much they earn, but we need to do it.
Through working to preserve the legacy of the historic Northside neighborhood in Chapel Hill, Hudson Vaughn, Deputy Director of the Marion Cheek Jackson Center, has worked with the community on a wide range of topics. The lack of affordable housing, he says, affects people at many income levels.
You know, we see not just families that are on fixed incomes and are being displaced, but also even all the way up in Chapel Hill to the professor level who can't find housing in downtown or anywhere in this town. Now, that's a pretty enormous gap.
Vaughn, Palmer, Hauser, Dorison, Davis, Laws, Green, and Bailey made those comments during the affordability panel of WCHL's Community Forum. To hear the full discussion, you can visit our website at chapelboro.com. It is 8:23 at WCHL, and turning now to WCHL Championship Sports. The North Carolina baseball team couldn't get revenge last night over East Carolina for the second straight time. They lost to the Pirates. They were shut out last night, 1-0 at Bosch Emmer Stadium, where the Lost Tar Heels are now 27-19 on the year. It was a pitcher's duel and a cool, wet game under the lights. ECU's Reed Love edged UNC's Taylor Cherry to get the win. Love surrendered a mere 5 hits over 9 innings and didn't walk a single batter. Cherry allowed 8 hits and gave up just 1 run and 6 innings of duty on the mound. Normally, that should be enough to get a win. Carolina's best scoring chance likely came in the first inning when Michael Russell recorded a leadoff single, extending his career best hitting streak to 18 games. Russell got into scoring position after Park Jordan sacrificed, but Tar Heels couldn't push him across. Russell later left the game in the third inning with a sore back, but the exam break ought to come at a good time for the heart-swinging Tar Heels. After the break, Carolina will resume action next Tuesday at 6 p.m. to host Campbell in non-conference game. UNC has hired Jason Tudrin, Carrboro High School football coach. He resigned this week at Carrboro High after accepting the position as UNC's first director of high school relations, a job that would seem to be a perfect fit for Jason Tudrin.
From being in a high school setting for the last close to 20 years and being in Florida where it's a highly recruited state and then having some college players come out of Carrboro High School, I've got to experience it from the other side of the coin, if you will, and hopefully to lend some of those experiences to my new position to be able to help us here at Carolina become even better.
More on Jason Tudrin's new job coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The big NBA announcement Tuesday was more about Adam Silver than it was Donald Sterling. This is Archansky with the Wednesday Sports Notebook. There's an old expression, how you start is how you finish. And that's why new NBA Commissioner Adam Silver had to throw the book at LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling for racist remarks Sterling made that were really an invasion of his warped private life. Predecessor David Stern, who ruled the NBA with an iron fist, made so many non-decisions in his reign, including letting Sterling continue as owner of the Clips when similar racial charges were raised against him. In the great ESPN 30 for 30 special on the Detroit Pistons' bad boys of the late 1980s, Stern admitted that the league was lax in controlling the rough and sometimes violent play on the court. Perhaps we should have stepped in a little sooner, Stern admitted. Perhaps he was more interested in building the NBA's brand, like Ultimate Fighting has built its brand into a billion-dollar industry by giving fans something no other sport has, unrestrained violence and physicality. Now established, the NBA can safely ban for life an owner who should have been kicked out years ago. Sterling's comments are reprehensible. There is no question about that. But they were publicized from a private conversation with his girlfriend in his own home. Certainly things Sterling has said and done in public in the past were much worse because he didn't care who saw or heard them. Silver needs to establish himself as a strong commissioner because the NBA is run by the millionaire franchise owners, and part of his investigation, obviously, was taking their temperature. Whatever they wanted Silver to do with Sterling, Silver had to do in his first major decision. Stern did not always do that. He fought owners on certain issues, and once established, his opinion became just as important as theirs. Some of Stern's decisions could irk the owners, because his legacy was already safely set. And in banning Sterling for life, fining him $2.5 million, and pledging to make him sell the team, Adam Silva will be regarded as a forceful commissioner from this point on. Sterling was his foil, and deservedly so. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane McPherson, Cedars charter member since 2004. Here's what Jane had to say.
I have friends at all the local retirement communities, and they are most impressed with the fact that here at the Cedars, we have a car and driver at our disposal. But what I want to talk about now is financial stability, which we take very seriously here at the Cedars. People of our generation are conservative about how they treat the money they have earned. We don't like debt, either for ourselves individually or when we buy into a place. It goes against our values. It is a unique feature that the Cedars is entirely debt-free. Everything we pay goes toward our care and sustenance. Not a penny goes for debt service or interest on loans. And that is a major reason why the Cedars has been the right choice for us.
Thanks, Jane. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
My house is really spent. Every inch of it is low rent. No class, I'm such a nerd. It's time to call Cedar Burger. It just really makes good sense. 30 years experience. Call the man with the means and the dream team, Bill Cedar Burger.
For more information, go to cedarburgkitchens.com.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Jimmy Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
Vote Jimmy Doster for Durham School Board. Vote early April 24th through May 3rd at the Durham South Regional Library or downtown Durham at the Board of Elections office.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Jimmy Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
It is 8:30 at WCHL. We have 70 degrees in Chapel Hill. A flash flood watch remains in effect until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. That means rain could come very suddenly, very quickly, and could accumulate very quickly with no place to go. We've had a lot of saturation, a lot of rain, that sort of thing, so we have to be on alert for that. A widespread fog and numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms even this morning, and then widespread showers with scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. You may be getting rain where you are right now. Some storms may produce very heavy rainfall. Some thunderstorms may be severe later in the day. Our high today about 80 degrees. Also very breezy, gust up to 25 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of rain 80% all day. Also 80% tonight and 80% or 50% tomorrow. Much better day tomorrow. Cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. When severe weather hits, keep it tuned to WCHL.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
Steve Barrett. After being banned by the NBA, Donald Sterling, the LA Clippers owner who made racial remarks, will be hearing from the other owners.
They're prepared to tell him, you have to sell the team.
Crisis communication expert Frank Luntz is a CBS News analyst.
They're angry that they're put into this situation. They don't want any divisions between themselves and the players. They feel that this is an embarrassment to the game, to the league, and frankly, to the country.
LA Clippers fans chanted at last night's home playoff game, showing unity as the Clippers won by 10 over Golden State. CBS's Steve Futterman checked the crowd last night at Staples Center.
We have seen anti-Donald Sterling t-shirts and one sign read, and racism, another sign, go away Sterling. Everyone says they want Sterling to sell the Clippers.
LA coach Doc Rivers.
The healing process has started. We're going to keep growing and, you know, getting away from this.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
70 degrees, 832 at WCHL. This is Ron Stutz, National Weather Service Senior Forecaster Scott Sharp. And what's happened and what will happen today?
Right now, the front that was stalled pretty much to the east and south of the Triangle area has advanced westward overnight. It is now across the Triangle area, heading for the Triad at this time. And we've had a few, or actually an isolated severe storm form along the front here shortly after 5 o'clock or so. That severe storm is now crossing into northwestern Vance County from northern Granville County. We do have a tornado warning effect for that one particular storm, even though we haven't received indication of anything on the ground as far as verification goes. The rotation in that storm was impressive enough to issue a warning when it came up through Durham, Granville, and into Vance County.
We will be in touch constantly with the National Weather Service throughout the day here on WCHL. More rain expected. You may be getting rain where you are right now. And, of course, we have a big danger of flooding, a flash flood watch in effect through 6 a.m. tomorrow. When severe weather hits, keep it tuned to WCHL. You can rest assured Orange County Emergency Services officials are preparing for the worst and offering some good advice. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Orange County Emergency Services Director Jim Groves says that one of his major concerns is that all Orange County residents have access to updates and information from the Weather Service.
Unfortunately, it's called a flash flood because it happens in a hurry versus a traditional flood, which may occur over hours or even days. It's been our history here in the county, especially on the south side of the county, Carrboro and Chapel Hill, that these floods happen just in a few hours. And we have to have a really quick way of notifying people.
Groves says the Weather Service is still the fastest way to get the word out. But Orange County Emergency Services will also be using a reverse 911 system to notify people living in the worst hazard areas. By now, Orange County has a pretty good idea of where the worst flooding problems can be expected.
Estes Drive near 15501, folks are familiar with Camelot Village, the Brookwood area, and those apartments across on South Estes on the other side of Fordham Boulevard. We also know in the Carrboro area, depending on how the rain comes, there is an area there at Smith Level and Merritt Mill. That mobile home park down there has flooded in the past as well.
Groves advises people to make sure they stay tuned to television or radio to receive updates and warnings as they come out.
Have a plan, a way to get out before the water starts to rise. Go to higher ground, have someone that they can meet with. Never walk across water that's over 6 inches high. It could sweep your feet out from under you, and you're going to go downstream, and it's not going to be good.
He also warns motorists never to drive across water if you can't see the roadway because it could be washed out. As the National Weather Service famously cautions, turn around, don't drown. More on this story at our website, Chapelboro.com. Our thanks to Danny Hooley. Orange County Animal Services has recorded the 10th positive test for rabies, just two short of the total for all of last year and the year before. The department says the case originated last Saturday when a Hillsborough resident spotted a raccoon outside her house that appeared to be ill. The woman removed her dogs from the courtyard and then called 911 to reach an animal control officer. The raccoon was taken from the home for rabies testing. Although the two dogs involved in the case were currently vaccinated against rabies, they will have to get a booster shot in accordance to North Carolina law. Well, we mentioned that Jason Tudrin has what should be a dream job for both parties. It seems to be a win-win situation. UNC football didn't have to look very far for a successful high school football coach who can usher in the state's top talent. Carrboro High School head coach Jason Tudrin, the only coach Carrboro High has ever had, resigned this week after accepting the position as UNC's first director of high school relations.
Being in a high school setting for the last close to 20 years and being in Florida where it's a highly recruited state and then having some college players come out of Carrboro High School, I've got to experience it from the other side of the coin, if you will, and hopefully to lend some of those experiences to my new position to be able to help us here at Carolina become even better.
Now, Coach Fedora has said all along since he took the job at Carolina that his goal was to keep the most talented North Carolina players right here in North Carolina.
For Carolina to be able to, and Coach Fedora to be able to create a position like this that helps us reach those people and helps them see us as people that they'll be willing to build their futures with is an exciting opportunity for me personally. And it's very important for the state of North Carolina to make sure that all the talent in this state stays in state.
Jason Tudrin's done a great job building the program at Carrboro High School, and he says there was no way he could turn down this opportunity, especially because he gets to stay right here at home.
This is just an opportunity for me that wasn't going to come by again, and it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. I told the kids when I told them I was leaving that, you know, chapters close and end, and the story continues, and they have a chance to continue on what we've built on, and I think we turned our program into one of the most respectable programs in the state, and then the challenge for the older guys is to take the lessons that we've taught them over the years to have them kind of bear fruit, if you will, in prolonging the tradition of our young program.
April Ross is athletic director at Carborough High School. She made the announcement in an email yesterday. She said, quoting here, "We wish Coach Tudrin much success in his new endeavors. He's a dedicated professional who has a tremendous work ethic and commitment to excellence, and he will be truly missed by the Carborough community." In turn, Tudrin says he couldn't have been happier working for anyone other than April Ross.
An untold story, really, it is how important administration is in the whole process and the success of each high school program, or any sports program, really. And April Ross is the reason that that school is so successful. And, you know, they've won multiple Wells Fargo Cups. And she is a friend. She's a mentor. And I've been really thankful to have her come to our lives.
Tudrin has been his new job since Monday. Assistant Athletic Director for Communications at UNC Kevin Best said in an email that Tudrin will be responsible for establishing and maintaining relationships with high school coaches, as well as developing summer camps and clinics at Carolina. Coach Fedora is out of town and could not be reached for comment, but congratulations to Jason Tudrin on this new job. And news around town this morning, and how appropriate. You're invited to a public information meeting on the current draft of Chapel Hill's Stormwater Management Master Plan tomorrow from 4:30 until 6:30 afternoon in the Chapel Hill Public Library. Might have to deal with some stormwater runoff. The town has already held one meeting back on April 16th. This meeting will be identical to that one, with a brief presentation and a chance for you to ask questions and offer feedback. Also, it's almost summer. Time for sand volleyball. Blue Sky Volleyball and the Chapel Hill Parks and Rec Department are offering co-ed sand volleyball this summer for adults 18 and over. Two leagues, co-ed 4s and co-ed 6s, will run from May 14th to June 16th. Space is limited. If you're interested in forming a team, get more information by emailing blueskyvball@gmail.com. There'll be team captains meeting on Thursday at 6 and 7 in the Northside Gym on North Roberson Street. Games will be played at Umstead Park on Umstead Drive beginning May 14th. Little known fact, Zach Godwin, chapelboro.com, is an outstanding volleyball player. Well, let me rephrase that. He actually loves to watch volleyball. And he is here this morning sitting at the Twitter desk, WCHL in Chapel Barone.
Thank you for sharing my love for volleyball with everyone.
Well, yeah, well, I love watching beach volleyball when it comes along during the Olympics.
I'm definitely not good at playing it.
That's about my only expertise with it, yeah. What's happening today? I know I probably don't even need to ask this question, but what are people tweeting about today?
Well, today I found, weather will probably dominate Twitter, but
sure.
I found another very useful resource for us to share, and that is to help you find out what National Food Day your birthday is.
Oh, I was lying awake this morning thinking about that.
I'm here to help you out. 4 a.m.
Yeah, thanks.
Ron, sorry, I called you Rand.
that's all right. I've been called worse.
And, you know, every day of the year is always something day, and usually there's a food to go with it. So I looked up a few important birthdays to see what food is celebrated. Okay. My birthday, the most important, is March 18th, and it's Oatmeal Cookie Day, which is good as long as it has chocolate chips. Your birthday, I looked it up on Facebook, is June 10th.
Oh, okay.
Is National Iced Tea Day. You like iced tea?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Perfect. It was fate. Rand's birthday in June 15th is National Lobster Day, so his birthday is a little fancier.
Wow, yeah, no kidding.
And then we've got, for example, President Obama. His birthday is August 4th. Mm-hmm. It's National Lasagna Day.
Wow, cool.
And then some local folks. Mark Kleinschmidt, his birthday, March 25th, Waffle Day. That's a pretty nice day.
Yeah, really.
And then Roy Williams, his birthday is August 1st, and his is the most specific. His is National Raspberry Cream Pie Day.
Wow,
so
cool.
This August 1st, if you want to do something for Roy Williams, make him a raspberry cream pie.
I bet Roy loves that.
And if your birthday is today, I know we like to give those shout-outs.
Mm-hmm.
It's National Raisin Day. So most of them seem to be desserts and stuff, but not today's your healthy.
Not too exciting.
Your healthy option.
Yeah. Blanche Patterson Edwards is our birthday winner of the day. And let's see, Barrett Bennett, Marion Youngblood, and Michael Fox. You know Michael Fox. He's, I'm not talking about the Michael J. Fox on TV. I'm talking about Michael E. Fox, I believe it is, who lives here in Chapel Hill. His birthday is today, so.
Well, go get some raisins and celebrate.
Exactly. Well, hey, listen, if somebody wants to tweet us, how do they do that?
Our Twitter handle is at Chapelboro and at WCHL, and we love hearing from you.
I believe Charlie Ferris is out there, and ask him what day his birthday is, and we're going to talk to him in just a few minutes about some exciting stuff coming for Jersey Mike's. All right.
All right.
Also, D.G. Martin coming up in just a few minutes here on WCHL. And, you know, we're going to stay on top of the weather. When severe weather hits, keep it tuned to WCHL.
Imagine a life free from cigarettes. Would you have more energy, more money, more breath? Renee can.
I really have a lot more freedom now without being chained to the cigarette.
Well, it takes practice to become tobacco-free. At UNC Family Medicine, our tobacco treatment specialists coach you through the process. People like Renee who utilize our nicotine dependence program know how powerful support can be. Join the team by calling 966-0210 or visit uncfamilymedicine.org.
Hi, this is Tracy Wright and Wendy Thompson with Tony Hall & Associates, the power of two of Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
The real estate market is blooming like our spring flowers, and it's a great time to buy or sell a home.
For sellers, we can provide a detailed market analysis to determine value, and for buyers, we can show you the newest listings.
If you have questions about the real estate market, call us, Tracy Wright and Wendy Thompson, and put the power of two to work for you.
At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses. We sell them.
This is Stacy Chapman at the Print Shop in University Mall. We are going green just in time for Earth Day with a fantastic line of eco-friendly frames. To celebrate, we're having a sale offering you 20% off all custom orders with these EcoCare frames now through April 30th. Carefully designed to have the smallest footprint possible on the environment, these eco-friendly frames are as responsible as they are beautiful. Now through April 30th, The Print Shop, for over 40 years, your art, print, and framing store in University Mall.
Well, ring-a-ding-ding, the year was 1936, and Leo and Lillian Goodwin were hot to trot for the world to save some big bucks on automotive insurance. So they opened up a little joint called Geico. Geico had the goods for all the dolls and Joes who were keen on swell service and keeping the cabbage.
Flash forward over 75 years, and Geico is still helping customers save money every day and with 97% customer satisfaction. Today, the peeps would refer to that as pretty darn tight.
Geico, saving people money for over 75 years.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
Vote Jimmy Doster for Durham School Board. Vote early April 24th through May 3rd at the Durham South Regional Library or downtown Durham at the Board of Elections office.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Jimmy Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutz. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. After you wake them up, you've probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
Hey, Roy, thank you very much. And what about the WCHL news team?
It's a big-time freaking team.
I thought you'd say that. 8:46 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the Commentators.
This is Brian Thornburg. I don't know about you, but I take voting pretty seriously. No matter who you end up voting for, I think we should all take the time and make the effort to put a ballot in the box a couple of times a year. It's one of the few ways we can influence how we want to live and to tell our representatives what we want to prioritize in our neighborhood, town, state, and country. It's an activity that's gotten more and more important lately, and I'll explain why in a little bit. This week, we're in the midst of early voting leading up to an election day on Tuesday, May 6th. This election is a primary, which is the one where you have to say which ballot you want, Democratic or Republican, and vote for those candidates. If you're not registered to vote, it's too late to register this time, but you can get registered for the general election this November. There's all kinds of information about how to do that at the North Carolina State Board of Elections website, or you can give them a call. So here's why voting has gotten to be more and more important lately. There are some people who hold elective office or can influence those who hold office who are working hard to find ways to either keep you from voting, make you feel like your vote doesn't count, or just give up and not care about voting. I'm sure by now you've heard of the Moral Monday demonstrations that have taken place in North Carolina. One of the big reasons for the formation of Moral Mondays was to voice opposition to our own state legislature's actions towards making it harder for us to vote. the number of days for early voting was severely cut, and a voter ID law was passed. It was claimed that these new laws were needed to address voter fraud, but there are no cases or statistics that warrant these voter suppression laws. The state legislature and the governor seem to be ignoring the questions and pleas from sensible folks about why this is being done. The only thing left to do at this point is to learn how to hang on to your precious vote and to get it counted. Our former state senator, Ellie Kinnaird, actually gave up her seat in the legislature to work on voter education and turnout because she really believes that this issue is more important for her to work on. That's plenty of evidence for me to believe her and to do what I can to encourage all of us to get out to the polls. And you really need to ask yourself, neighbors, if your vote is so important that folks are trying to figure out how to keep it from you, isn't it important enough for you to keep and use? It's your choice. This is Brian Thornburg.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
70 degrees on this rainy day. I'm Ron Stutz, WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Well, what President Obama needed was a Shirley Temple. And I'm not talking about that popular non-alcoholic drink named for the childhood star. What he needed as he faced the nation's worst economic situation since the Great Depression was the kind of help Franklin D. Roosevelt got from a bright, cheerful, optimistic child actor who lifted the spirits of almost every American during the dark times of the 1930s. People still remember. Some even worship her. She rivaled FDR as the most photographed person in the world. From 1934 until 1940, she made 22 feature films and was the most popular star at the box office. How do we explain this little girl's appeal, and what role did she play in America's cultural history? Well, UNC Chapel Hill professor John Kasson tackles these questions in his new book, The Little Girl Who Fought the Great Depression, Shirley Temple and 1930s America. Kasson asserts the circulation of a new emotional currency during the Depression formed a little understood but essential part of the nation's recovery, a sort of deficit spending with immense effects. The politician who succeeded, Kasson says, most effectively was, of course, Franklin D. Roosevelt. The entertainer who did so most spectacularly was a little girl, Shirley Temple. In 1934, soon after the new president took office, Temple's breakthrough film, Stand Up and Cheer, unapologetically linked arms with FDR in celebrating national recovery. Amid the Great Depression, its deprivation and despair, Kasson explains, Shirley Temple radiated optimism and plucky good cheer that lifted the spirits of millions and shaped their collective character for generations to come. He continues and explains, by placing Shirley Temple and her fans within the context of FDR and his constituents, we can see how popular entertainment as well as New Deal politics helped Americans to surmount the Great Depression. Well, like FDR, our current president tried to lift the current country's spirits during the recent dark times. From time to time, he even flashed an FDR smile, but nothing and nobody lifted our spirits like Shirley Temple lifted those of our grandparents 80 years ago. Would the help of somebody like Shirley Temple have made a difference for Obama's efforts to turn our country and its economy around? Well, recently, Professor Kasson told me that he does not like to speculate on such what-if questions. However, he pointed out a couple of factors that would have made it difficult for anybody to have duplicated the Shirley Temple FDR cheerleading success. First, compared to Obama, FDR had more support from Congress at the beginning of his presidency. And while FDR also faced partisan division and factionalism, what Obama faced was much more entrenched. And secondly, Shirley Temple may have been a one-of-a-kind figure. Kasten says, what distinguished Shirley Temple from every other Hollywood star of the period and everyone since was how brilliantly she shone. Well, Kasten's book is much more. Indeed, it is a social and cultural history of the 1930s. But I can't get that plucky, smiling girl off my mind. And I think Obama could have used some of her kind of help in pulling our country together. This is D.G. Martin.
All right, D.G., thank you very much. It is 8:53 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. Today is a mighty big day at Jersey Mike's.
This is Charlie Ferris, owner-operator of Jersey Mike's Subs on Elliott Road, and I'm thrilled to announce the April 30th grand opening of our new location in Chapel Hill North. Visit chapelboro.com or Jersey Mike's Chapel Hill's Facebook page to get a coupon for a free sub when you make a minimum $2 donation to Chapel Hill High or East Chapel Hill High. Come see us at 1802 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Chapel Hill North and support your local high schools.
And don't forget, today is opening day.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Gaines Steer is no spring chicken. Even Last Unicorns must finally retire after 25 years. The Last Tango in Unicorn Land is here. Now it's time for Grayer Pastures. Grayer Pastures, get it? Friends and patrons of The Last Unicorn, here is the deal. 50% off of everything. Open every day, May and June, 60 days for final clearance. Wow. Come and get it. 60 days to plunder. By the way, my house and property is also now on sale. Do inquire. Till then, Gaines.
Did you know that Orange County's commissioners will be decided in the May 6th primary? Hi, I'm Bonnie Hauser. I love Orange County, and I'm running for Orange County Commissioner at Large. After years of working with local issues, I couldn't understand why our schools were in disrepair while our taxes are the highest in the state and county leaders were planning new offices for themselves. Business as usual is not working. We need new leadership for the challenges that lie ahead. Please vote for me, Bonnie Hauser, Commissioner at Large. We can do better.
Paid for by the committee to elect Bonnie Hauser. Visit BonnieHauser.com.
The Vietri Spring Warehouse Sale is here. Come see us at our Hillsboro warehouse this Saturday through Monday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. You'll find closeout prices on retired, slightly flawed, and one-of-a-kind samples of handcrafted Italian ceramics and glassware for the home and garden. Vietri product will be refreshed daily, along with daily sale specials. Red Window, the furniture boutique owned by the late Elizabeth Edwards, will also be selling its inventory of unique home furnishings at up to 80% off. Please visit vietri.com for more details.
If you know the word of the day, I'm sorry, if you know the word of the day, call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. You can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Call right now. The word of the day, always brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? It's 8:56.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Today's WCHL hometown hero is Ray Frederick, founder and coach, the Bouncing Bulldogs. Thank you for all you've done.
Well, Ron, it's been an honor and privilege to work with the young people over 27 years from 50 different schools in the Triangle.
How many kids do you have involved now?
When we first started, we had 15 kids. Today, we have 130 kids on our competitive team, and we have a club, so that's an additional 200 kids. So that's 330 kids that come through our program.
It's a rope-skipping demonstration team. Is that the way you describe it?
That is correct. In the USA, we say jump rope. Yeah. Internationally, rope skipping.
It's about so much more than skipping rope or jumping rope because you teach all kinds of values. These kids have to do well in school or they can't participate.
We ask each person to work hard in the classroom to earn a B average. One C in the classroom. You cannot perform, but you can stay in the program.
Kids learn discipline, teamwork, and they get a chance to have some really great experiences with traveling.
Yes, and again, I give that credit credit to the jumpers and their families. Over the 27 years, the kids have 7 national championships and 6 world titles. But that's a byproduct. The relationships that we develop with people from all over the world is more important, because I share with the young people, you have a lot of power. So if you connect with people and turn the relationship into a friendship, that's what's going to make this world a better place.
You don't even like to have attention focused on you. You always deflect the praise to the kids. And I know that you have some really good things coming up in the near future with the Bouncing Bulldogs program.
Our focus now is we are creating a curriculum for boys and girls with special needs. Ryan, we all have needs, but we want to create an environment where these young people can come in that environment and feel good about who they are. We do not want to try to change them. We want to get inside of their world. They connect with us. They will be excited to develop their physical, mental, and social skills. Our first grandchild was born with autism, and this inspired me to create an environment for boys and girls who needed some extra help. And I'm so motivated. So for the next 20 years, look out. We've won the championships, but this is a greater vision.
There are so many hundreds of kids involved in this, so many hundreds of families. The Bouncing Bulldogs is an amazing organization. You and your lovely wife, Pat, do such a great job with it. Thank you so much for all you've done for the kids.
We're having some fundraising activities. If you go to bouncingbulldogs.org, and you can learn about the program. And again, every penny that people donate to our program will go directly to the kids.
Ray Frederick, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Well, thank you so much, Ron.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Well, it is 70 degrees in Chapel Hill, widespread fog, numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms all this morning and in the afternoon. Some strong winds later on in the day. High today about 80 degrees, but we could get some severe weather. Chance of rain is 80% today and tonight. Don't forget, flash flood watch in effect through 6 a.m. tomorrow. When severe weather hits, keep it tuned to WCHL.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Satapani. Florida Governor Rick Scott has just declared a state of emergency because of severe flooding from torrential rains in the Florida Panhandle. At least two people.